Welcome back to Listen to Your Heart. I'm Jerry.
And I'm Jerry's Heart.
Today's topic, Repatha, Evolokimab. Heart, why'd you pick this one?
Well, Jerry, for people who have had a heart attack, like us, diet and exercise might not be enough to lower the risk of another one.
Okay.
To help know if we're at risk, we should be getting our LDL-C, our bad cholesterol, checked, and talking to our doctor.
I'm listening.
And if it's still too high, Repatha can be added to a statin to lower our LDL-C and our heart attack risk.
Guess it's time to ask about Repatha.
Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Serious allergic reactions can occur. Get medical help right away if you have trouble breathing or swallowing, swelling of the face, lips, tongue, throat, or arms. Common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar, and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site.
Listen to your heart.
Ask your doctor about Repatha. Learn more at Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA.
Off the ball, GAA.
Everyone was saying Leinster's dead, but like for a lot of ways, the GAA was almost dead. You know, that Dublin team were generational. Like, you'll never see the likes of that again.
Join
like.
In the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join. Off the Ball's Breakfast Bite. A bite-sized serving of Ireland's breakfast sports show.
It is 5 minutes past eight. Our resident Cavan man, Dara Smith-Nocton, is with us. Dara, how are you?
Good, Jerry. How are you?
Pushing hard that we're not doing enough Cavan on the show.
Yeah, well, I wasn't impressed with Tommy yesterday, to be honest. I thought there was more criticism towards Mayo than there was credit given to Cavan. Which, you know, was kind of not just Tommy. I won't just put that on Tommy, but there was a lot of that. And I thought Cavan did a great job, and I think Shawnee agrees.
Shawnee Johnson, good morning to you.
Morning, men. How are yous?
It's a Cavan storm rising.
Completely agree with Dara. Scandalous.
Yeah.
Are you in a Cavan jersey?
Just had to wear blue for the occasion. He warned me.
How good are they at the moment?
If you had asked me that 3 or 4 weeks ago or even before, if you had asked me that Saturday night, I'd probably have said, not great, but look, it's a brilliant win. It was a brilliant weekend all around, actually, for the county, with the minors winning and the ladies winning, and the hurlers are in the Lowry Mara final as well. So, look, there's a huge amount of optimism since Sunday. Like, there wasn't going into it. I think Dara will agree. I would say the Cavan population down in Mayo on Sunday was less than 200, I would say. It was very, very small. But there just seems to be most of the talk around since Sunday is about Mayo and flat Mayo and are they gone, and very little really about a phenomenal performance really to go down to Castlebar and win. You know, they didn't get any results in the All-Ireland Championships last year, played Mayo and got well beaten, Roscommon and Dublin as well. And then, you know, they were under a lot of pressure and under a lot of sticks since the Tyrone game because they didn't perform really. And then to go down and get that result, it's a huge win for Cavan.
This had been coming a little bit from the league form, but no one really knew how to interpret the league form because a bunch of teams finished on the same level with like a you could throw a blanket over them, and then Louth go and win Leinster with a great performance against Meath. Meath beat Dublin, and suddenly everybody's like, and Cork put in a performance against Kerry.
Yeah,
you're like, actually Division 2 wasn't that bad, and Cavan were safe, but also could have got out and then didn't. So we didn't know whether or not to read too much into it.
Yeah, I think that those sort of things give you hope because like Cavan had Cork in the last game and the way results unfolded, a win would have put them up and they had a shot in the last minute that just went wide that would have put them to Division 1. And then you go and see a Cork who can sporadically do that and compete with probably the favourites for the All-Ireland or one of the favourites for the All-Ireland. And then you see Meade take out Dublin. And you're just going to maybe anything is possible. Like, and I don't think Mayo are on the same level as a Kerry or that, but still to go down to Castlebar in a game that they probably knew was their best chance of picking up points. Now things have changed now mentally for them. They're in a very good place, you would imagine, and they'll probably think that anything is possible. And the buzz that will come around with the Ulster champions coming to town on the June bank holiday weekend will be serious now, and you'll find that there'll be a lot more than 200 people in Breffni Park. It'll probably be jammed and the buzzes will be back, and that's all people are talking about. You know, we were out there yesterday in school and you can just see in PE classes even the jerseys are back out, and that's what a win like that does. It just builds that momentum. It gets the conversation flowing around football again, and it gets young people out wearing their Cavan jersey again. And that, I suppose that's what it's all about.
What have you made of Raymond Gallagher so far? I know last season we weren't as close for promotion, even though we did finish third in Division 2. And obviously this year we had a pretty good campaign. And we've had some good moments, like the win in Ulster against Monaghan last year, and now at the weekend in Castlebar. How do you measure his tenure so far?
Yeah, well, I think I'm thinking about it a little bit. A lot of people are critical. And the thing for Raymond is, like, firstly, it's a tough job.
Yeah.
Secondly, he's come into that job out of coming from playing with this group and not having managerial experience. The thing to remember for him is that he has been in Division 2 in both years and stabilised Cavan and very nearly brought them up to Division 1 this year, which allowed them to be in the All-Ireland Championships for the last 2 years, which they haven't been able to do for the previous 3 or 4 years. So, like, he's playing off a different field than what we had for the 3 or 4 years before that. Now, what would be thrown at them is that they took a few tankings in the All-Ireland Championship last year, like Dublin came to town and gave them, you know, a good beating, and they didn't really compete. But the Monaghan result was big. The league form has been very good overall. And now this kind of just brings you, you know, a little bit further down the line in terms of they're after taking the scalp of a Division 1 team. And people will criticise Mayo and they'll play Mayo down. The reality is Division 1 is extremely competitive, and Mayo were in the final of it a month ago or 5 weeks ago. And they pushed Galway and probably should have beat Galway, and Galway were many people's favourites to probably go on and win Sam. And Mayo probably should have won that game realistically. They did. Probably did what they have been tended to do in tight games over the last wee while. So, like, I think he's done a really good job to stabilise Cavan as a top echelon of Division 2, very close to pushing into that Division 1, and now he's taken out a Division 1 team in the Championship. So, you know, fair play to him.
This week on Diverted.
I mean, I woke up at like 11:30. I cracked a cold one with the boys. We had some buffalo chicken dip this afternoon.
It's the only way to do it. It's the only way to do it. It's the only way to do it in Gainesville, baby.
Yeah.
We are in the United States. We're talking college football, Hialeah in Miami, and we're talking pillow fighting.
It's still combat sports. The transition from bare knuckle to pillow fight is good because I'm also a Tai Chi instructor, so you know you got to go from hard to soft.
Diverted. Coming every Tuesday to your podcast feed, wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm delighted to say James Tracy is with us. James, how are you?
Doing all right. How are you?
I'm very well. We actually haven't seen you since Leinster crashed out of the Champions Cup.
Yeah, then... Tough to take.
Now that the dust has settled, what are the things you're going to remember from that defeat?
I did say prior to it that I was a little bit more worried than most. You know, the brilliant results that they had pre to that were definitely magnified by Glasgow's weakened team, and I just felt like there was a very hungry Northampton side we've now seen them been picked for the Lions. They came with an excellent game plan and just picked Leinster's their defensive system apart really well by splitting the field. They used really tight passes in and around the ruck to get to midfield. And then they were able to either go wide really quick from that, where the blitz couldn't get them, or they were able to, off first phase, target kind of Prendergast, making sure they weren't running into the kind of heavy hitters, and then build their moves off that. What I was worried about going into the game was if they won the air, they won the kind of individual lines kind of battles that, it was going to be a very tight game. I still thought Leinster would have enough, and they almost did at the end. I think a frustrating one for them would have been how they managed the last kind of 10 minutes. And then the most frustrating one for me, I think, is two of the tries came off of kick chase, and that's like the most disappointing one.
Why specifically is the kick chase the most disappointing?
Because kick chase is... It's an effort thing as well as being organised. For the first Freeman try, They don't connect up in midfield, and like Joe McCarthy's left in the backfield behind the line, and he's too little too late to try connect up with the lads ahead of him. And in fairness, they take the try really well, but that's besides the point for me. Of these guys are top class internationals, and it's just a frustrating one. And then the Pollock try, it's a really good exit, and there's no other Northampton attack there. Tyke Furlong blinds Foley, he folds to the blind side when he doesn't need to. And it's just, again, it's just a mental mistake. And you see Snyman, everyone's looking at him and like, oh, he missed the tackle, but he's not expecting that hole to be left either. And that's a communication thing. It's a concentration thing, and that for me was the bit that was most frustrating, and I think they'll be kicking themselves on, because it's not like they didn't have the firepower or the game plan to get the job done, and they still almost did. That's the bit they're going to be kicking themselves the most, because yes, Northampton had a 10 out of 10 performance, but they should still have had enough, and they almost did at the end to get the job done. The decision, it's easy to say in hindsight, oh, you should have taken the points, you should have done this. Would I have taken the points? Yes, in that moment. But again, you got to back the call, and they do almost get there with the try that's disallowed, and then just getting stripped in contact off for first phase. With that kind of tap and go penalty, the first carry is pretty much a setup. You're not trying to score off, you're not trying to do anything. It's just keeping the ball, and again, in the championship minutes, to fall short again, it's such a killer blow for that group. And
to listen to this morning's Off the Ball Breakfast in full, become a member at offtheball.com/join now.
This Thursday night, we're wrapping up the Premier League season with a brilliant live show at the Goat Bar in Dublin. Going to be joined by Liverpool legend Steve McMahon and a couple of Irish legends as well. Glenn Whelan and Richard Dunn are going to be along. That's this Thursday night, the 22nd of May, at the Goat Bar in Dublin. To get your tickets, head along to offtheball.com/events. It's all with thanks to Guinness. Never settle.